There's a story in our Bibles, in the Sermon on the Mount, that comes a little later than where we've been reading, that reminded me a lot of this part of Paul's letter to the church in Corinth. I think it helps illustrate what Paul is talking about here and trying to teach the Corinthians. So it goes something like this. Jesus says to those who are gathered around him, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like the wise man who built his house on a rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house. But it did not fall, because it had been founded on a rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act like them will be like the foolish man who built his house on sand. And the rains fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house. And it fell. And it was a great fall." This teaching of Jesus from Matthew chapter 7 talks about the wise and the foolish. It also talks about the foundation of the house. The foundation. Now, Paul was talking about the foundation. And he said that the foundation for us is Jesus Christ. Paul goes on to tell the Corinthians that they are the building, that they are God's temple collectively. They are God's temple, and that the Holy Spirit dwells among them. They are the church. They are the witnesses to the power and the wisdom of God. They are the building whose foundation is the rock, Jesus. Now, the question that Paul is writing and addressing here is whether or not the church will continue to stand. Will it be there when the winds come, when the rain beats down, when the floodwaters rise? Will it still be on that foundation? Or will it have been swayed by the wisdom of the world, but it is on sand that quickly washes away and begins to collapse? The question for us today is, are we seeking to be a holy and righteous people of God, or are we giving in to the temptations of the world by doing things like putting our hope and trust in human leaders rather than God? This church in Corinth that Paul is writing to, we've seen, has had divisions. They've been fighting against each other, disagreeing, arguing, and the tensions have been rising. And part of that is because they've been placing priority on their human leaders rather than on God. They've been fighting about who's right and who's wrong. They've been too busy trying to pick winners and losers. So Paul writes to give them correction. The point of the church is not to have winners and losers, not to have right and wrong lines drawn. The point of the church is to call people to repentance of sin, to help them ask for God's forgiveness, and with God's help, to work towards being shaped more like Christ in our thoughts and words and deeds. You see, Paul is careful to stress in this portion of the letter that the leaders of the church, that he and Apollos and Cephas and others, are part of the whole church. The church that belongs to Christ, and Christ who belongs to God. In that way, we all belong to God through Christ. We are called to be witnesses to Christ. Now, you may remember a few months ago, we talked about King Backwards on Christ the King Sunday, right before we started into Advent at the end of November. We talked about King Backwards. Do you remember who King Backwards is? Jesus, yeah. Yeah, Jesus is King Backwards. So this was the story of King Backwards. You see, he was a baby. He came into the world as a baby, born in a cave, not the palace or a fancy hospital. He spent his early years as a Middle Eastern refugee immigrant escaping genocide. He grew up in a family of humble means and never received the royal treatment. His closest friends were a group of fishermen and tax collectors and women of questionable employment. King Backwards was homeless and never held a steady job. He made his triumphant entry into Jerusalem on the back of a borrowed donkey. He was mocked and stripped of his own clothing. He was given a crown of thorns on his head. And he was hung on a cross because the government didn't agree with what he was teaching. That's King Backwards. And that is our Jesus. The one to whom we belong. The one we worship and adore. The one who is our rock, our foundation. Let's take this from a different angle. Imagine you're going to paint your house. So you go to your friend and ask some advice. And your friend says, above all else, make sure that you prepare well. Proper preparation is going to be critical for the success of your painting project, especially long term. You're going to need to replace the rotten wood, scrape, prime, even paint the trim before you ever put that first coat of paint on. And if you do the proper preparation work, you'll be surprised at how well, how much easier the task of painting will be. So if you can read between the lines, what your friend is telling you is that having the right foundation is going to be crucial to your painting project. To be able to weather the sun, the wind, the storms, the elements that will surely bear down on the house. You're going to need a good foundation. In our day and age, we tend to become impatient with the foundation work. We want to skip a few steps and get the job done. We don't care as much about the process of getting there. And our impatience with the foundation has a direct translation for our lives. We oftentimes lose our centering and grounding in God. We're impatient with God, and we think that we know a workaround that will be a little faster, and it will look just as good in the end. Forgetting sometimes about the need to weather the storms, the wind, the summer heat. For many of us, God is not a given in our lives. We don't feel a particular obligation to a higher power. We tend to center ourselves on ourselves and only consult God when we need a little help managing something in our lives. We think that God has a place, but not the place. So when things go wrong, illness or a setback or suffering of some sort enters our lives, we think that God needs to justify what has happened to us. It's not that we reject our faith, but we rein in the role that it has in our lives. We let Christ be a consultant rather than the foundation. But brothers and sisters, this practice that we have stands in direct opposition to the teaching of our scripture today. We must move to make Christ the center of our lives. And it probably means that we need to repent of our self-idolatry. We need to find ways to welcome Christ to be the foundation on which we build our lives. And I'm saying we, because I'm guilty of this too. So how do we know when we're readjusting our center, when we're finding that foundation in Christ? I'm going to suggest, and I think Paul would agree with me on this, that whenever and wherever Christ's love is proclaimed, we're recentering to that foundation, and we're starting to unleash God's holiness in this temple. So if we're seeking to be righteous and holy, as Paul commends to the Corinthians, we must be receiving and sharing God's love. Being God's people, the temple where the Holy Spirit dwells, means that we're not called to live by the world's standards of wisdom and piety and power. After all, we follow King backwards. The church isn't called to exist for its own benefit. We're not here to advance our own agendas. And maybe if that's what it's about, we need to pack it up and go home. Abandon the cause. Because unless we can receive and share God's love and make that a priority, then we have no foundation and we are not fit to be the church. Now, we may not be perfect, and we will certainly fall short of the high call, but we must persist. Persist to center ourselves on God. Persist in the vision of the unseen that was established by Christ. Persist in finding ways to share God's love and do it with urgency. Now is not the time to divide ourselves along the lines that the world draws. It's not time to pick winners and losers, to label right and wrong. It's the time to pull together in the unity of the Holy Spirit that dwells among us. Grab a hold of the foolish wisdom of God. Because discipleship isn't about having all the right answers. It isn't about getting to a particular place in your spiritual journey the fastest possible route. It's not about knowing the shortcuts or having all the bookmarks in your Bible and each chapter and book tabbed. Discipleship is about persisting in the foundation. It's about doing the mundane and the tedious day in and day out work of loving God and loving God's people. It's about faithfulness to God, who is faithful to us. You may not have heard me say this, but I know I've said it around. When people ask me, what are you here to do? What are you trying to do as the pastor of this church? I'm apt to respond, I'm here to love Jesus and love people. The goal of discipleship is to receive and share God's love. It's to receive God's love and to share it, because that will be a blessing for all people.